Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A California high school teacher was caught on camera berating students for their parents' collective push to end remote learning and return children to classrooms full time in a video shared on Facebook.
However, if your parent wants to come talk to me about how I'm not doing a good enough job in distance learning based on what you need as an individual, just dare them to come at me because I'm so sick to my stomach. Of parents trying to tell educators how to do their job.
That's San Marcos High School teacher Alyssa Puro during a virtual lesson over Zoom. Elon Musk's brain chip Neuralink company is working on technology that could improve the lives of those with paralysis. Imagine being able to control your smartphone with your mind or typing with thought instead of your fingers. Neuralink is reporting they've enabled a monkey to play a video game by thinking of its movements. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The Feds are saying the U.S. economy is getting ready to move forward in a bullish market. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The chairman of the Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy is poised for a bounce back. Speaking to CBS's 60 Minutes, Jerome Powell said he believes job creation and economic growth will accelerate through the second half of the year, as long as another wave of COVID infections doesn't take hold.
What we're seeing now is really an economy that seems to be at an inflection point, and that's because of, you know, widespread vaccination and strong fiscal support, strong monetary policy support. We feel like we're at a place where the economy is about to start growing much more quickly and job creation coming in much more quickly. So the principal risk to our economy right now really is that the disease would spread again.
The current federal interest rate sits at 1 to 1.25%. At least three people, including a two-year-old, were shot Sunday afternoon near Seattle's Central District neighborhood. Seattle PD Detective Valerie Carson said the two-year-old was in critical condition. No arrests have been made with the shooting. The other shooting victims went to the hospital and are expected to be okay. USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Dr. Fauci continues to push the mask mandate, even if you've been vaccinated. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau has more.
The United States set a new record Saturday for COVID vaccinations administered, delivering 4.3 million doses in a single day. But Dr. Anthony Fauci says infection rates are still on the high side, even with those vaccination efforts. The U.S. is averaging more than 60,000 new cases per day over the last 7 days. The White House's chief medical advisor tells MSNBC that even if you are vaccinated, you should still take some precautions.
If you are vaccinated, please remember that you still have to be careful and not get involved in crowded situations, particularly indoors where people are not wearing masks. And for the time being, until we show definitively that a person who's vaccinated does not get this subclinical infection and can spread to others, you should also continue to wear a mask.
The Food and Drug Administration reported 3 days ago masks may help prevent people who have COVID-19 from spreading the virus to others. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken on Sunday's Meet the Press admitted that the coronavirus got out of hand faster because of China. During the interview, Blinken said China didn't do what it needed to do in the early stages of the pandemic in response to a question about whether he believes China knows about the origins of the coronavirus. Blinken expressed real concerns about the methodology and the process that went into the WHO origins report, including the fact that the government in Beijing apparently helped to write it. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going
on. Hey, we're back with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we continue to pursue the truth. And, you know, that welcome breath of fresh air, you know, that little breath of fresh air that you're starting to feel and sense, is called common sense. That's what's starting to surround us. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, by experience, and you've heard me say this before, you know, that you have to get up on the roof, fall off the roof and realize, you know, the law of gravity still exists. And there's certain laws that exist that are very reasonable. They're common sense, the things we grew up with. But all of a sudden, I mean, this generation, this wokeism that we've been going through, is taking on all the institutions and questioning everything. And it's almost like we've become totally unhinged. And it's like, wow, you know, it's like sometimes I think I'm caught in a nightmare or some suspended reality that makes no sense. And I don't know if that's the way you feel at times, but more and more, because this just doesn't add up. You know, at the end of the day, politics, forget it, has just gone over the top. It's so emotional that you can't even talk. I mean, it's like the old days when I grew up, you know, you don't talk about, you know, faith and politics. And, of course, this is what we do. You know, we do talk about politics and we do talk about issues of faith because, you know, I'm of the mindset and by experience that faith should have an influence on politics. And right now, the woke, which is a small minority of wokeism, the wokeists have gotten control and said, look, we don't want any God in this deal. Get your God out of here. We can take it from here. Oh, great. Well, where were you back in the 1700s when we were putting this country together? You know, were you participating? Were you the one that was, you know, as the number one fighting military force was coming upon our land? Were you out there praying, or were you out there just burning, you know, candles to some other wooden god of some sort, or God only knows what you were adoring at the time? But it wasn't the divine hand of Providence himself, as George Washington would say. Well, with us right now is Brigadier General, and we're going to be Jim Damaris, and we're going to be talking about a harrowing story of a U.S. Air Force captain, Stephen Phillips. And Stephen is, you know, he died in action. And the general believes, and when you hear this story, you'll probably feel the same way, is that this Air Force captain should be honored with a Medal of Honor. General, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks so much for having me on today.
Well, let's talk about this hero. Air Force Captain Stephen Phillips, explain to our audience what happened and why you are leading this campaign to get him awarded the Medal of Honor.
Sure, and thanks for giving me this opportunity, because Steve's story of heroics is one that needs to be told far and wide. I'm going to take us back to the fifth Desert Storm and his 30th combat mission on February 15th of 1991. Steve and his very young wingman, Lieutenant Rob Sweet, were tasked on their most dangerous mission of Desert Storm. They were tasked to fly over 100 miles north of the Kuwaiti-Saudi border to attack Saddam Hussein's elite Republican Guards in anticipation of the pending ground war. Steve was an experienced A-10 fighter pilot and a cautious pilot by nature, but one committed to getting the job done. And so Steve and Rob flew 100 miles north and began their successful attacks against the Medina Division. And near the end of their mission, they were engaged by a surface-to-air missile site and successfully defeated the first missile shot at young Lieutenant Sweet. But they decided that it was time to roll in and attack this site. Steve rolled in and strafed, and when he came off, he cleared Rob into strafe. And unfortunately, at that time, Rob was engaged by the second surface-to-air missile shot at him, which mortally wounded his A-10 Warthog. So if you can picture this, Rob's in his A-10, hit by a surface-to-air missile. The airplane is now going down and passing through 6,000 feet. Rob has to pull the ejection handles and now has a five-minute parachute ride down on top of the troops that he and Steve just got done bombing and strafing.
Exactly. So he's not necessarily entering friendly territory.
Oh, no. He's guaranteed not to land near friendlies. But Steve, as is what any flight lead would do, he was not willing to give up and say, well, you're going to get captured, so I'm going to go home. Wish you the best of luck.
Right.
As Rob is parachuting down over these 10,000 angry and well-equipped troops who had not suffered the wrath of the air war up until this point of the conflict, Steve did what any flight lead would do. He marks the position, he gets the coordinates, and he starts the search and rescue effort. And you would expect that of every fighter pilot. And so his initial reaction is as you'd expect. But quite frankly, it's what happens next that is the thing of heroics. So Steve has earned the right to leave, low on weapons, low on fuel. He's the only A-10 circling over these now emboldened 10,000 angry, well-equipped Iraqi troops. And he has a chance to leave, but the thought of leaving never crosses his mind. So he's in a left-hand orbit watching Sweet parachute down. He's on the radio calling in for additional forces. So he calls another flight of A-10, says, hey, guys, come south here. I need you to set up a combat air patrol to help suppress these bad guys on the ground so that we can get the search and rescue forces in there and recover Rob. So in a left-hand turn at 10,000 feet at 200 knots, Steve is orbiting for 3 minutes, which sounds like a lot of time, but in a combat situation is an eternity. And at the three-minute point, Steve is engaged. He's being shot at by anti-aircraft artillery and surface-to-air missiles, but at the three-minute point, he's successfully engaged and hit by a surface-to-air missile himself. And as a highly experienced A-10 fighter pilot, he's able to quickly assess that his airplane is not going to make it home. So what does he do? The first thing he does is gets on the radio and says to his inbound buddies, the two A-10s that are inbound, hey, guys, you should go back home. Too dangerous here. So picture this. His airplane is on fire. He's just watched his wingman get hit by a SAM, eject.
Wow.
His only concern right now is for these guys that are inbound. And because the A-10's not equipped with a radar, he's trying to talk their eyes onto his position. And at the three-minute point, in order to help them out, he decides to dispense out of his A-10 high-visibility pyrotechnic flares. So anybody on the ground who had not yet seen him was now easily able to see his A-10 orbiting in a left-hand turn at 10,000 feet on a clear afternoon in February. So every gun and missile starts to shoot. Moments later, Steve decides that his aircraft is mortally wounded. He can no longer provide assistance to Rob. He gets on the radio, and in a voice as cool and calm as you and I are here on the radio today, he's the microphone and says, Enfield 37 is bagged as well, using the code word for the day for aircraft shot down. And unbeknownst to Rob Sweet at the time, his wingman, his friends, his fiance, his family, his fellow fighter pilots, moments later, he's engaged by another surface-to-air missile system and crashes moments later and is killed on impact about 15 miles south of where Rob lands.
General, we got to go to break. We'll pick up the story when we come back. We appreciate your time here. More from Jim DeMaris.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are, and great to have you along with us at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, there is an unsung hero of the war in Kuwait that you're hearing about, a U.S. Air Force fighter pilot who drew enemy fire to protect a comrade who had parachuted out of his burning plane and paid for this dedication with his life. Despite being awarded a posthumous Silver Star, the depth of his valor has gone uninvestigated. And Air Force Brigadier General Jim Damaris is on a mission to have the Medal of Honor awarded posthumously to U.S. Air Force Captain Stephen Phillips, a fighter pilot who was killed in action when his plane was shot down in Desert Storm. General, before the break, we had gotten to the point where Jim is taken down. His plane, as you say, was mortally wounded, and eventually he ends up being shot down and died in this campaign. General, I want you to pick up the story from there, if you would, please.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. So Rob Sweet lands 50 feet from a T-72 tank and is immediately captured, and he's actually serves as a POW for 19 days. And Rob didn't know about Steve's fate, nor did anybody else. And when Rob was liberated in early March in Desert Storm, his unit actually sent two escort officers, one to escort Rob back and one to escort Steve back. And when Rob was released, there was a great sigh. But when the last POW walked off the airplane and Steve wasn't there, it began an investigation. And it wasn't until late March, a full month after the ground war, that an Army unit came across the wreckage of what they thought was an airplane that was later forensically analyzed and identified as Steve's airplane. And they found some remains and evidence of the fact that he was unable to eject and was in the airplane when it hit.
So up to this point, General, up to this point, he was missing in action.
He was MIA, and when he didn't walk off the airplane, some people thought he was still out in the desert hiding, maybe didn't know the war was over. Others thought he had been captured and not liberated. But, yes, he was MIA up until they discovered his wreckage a month after the war.
Wow. And this was something that Rob was not aware of up to this point. And when did Rob become aware that it was Steve who was protecting his six?
Well, since they had been a combat pair, Rob knew immediately. Steve was the most experienced A-10 fighter pilot in his flight, and he selected Rob as his wingman because Rob was the most junior and inexperienced A-10 pilot. So they actually flew their first 29 missions of Desert Storm together. So they knew each other well. They flew as a combat pair, and Rob watched Steve 6 o'clock, and Steve's job was to watch Rob 6 o'clock on every single mission.
Right. And you note here that no member of the military during Desert Storm has been awarded the Medal of Honor. This seems a bit obvious. I mean, what was going on? Why would there not be a Medal of Honor award during that period
of
time?
That's a great question. I think what you have to remember is that Desert Storm, the leaders in Desert Storm of all the units had Vietnam experience, and many of them were very firmly committed to not repeating the mistakes of Vietnam, either tactically or administratively. So the awards process was actually very well done. General Horner himself read every single package and reviewed the awards. And to his credit, General Horner had authority to issue up to the Silver Star, and he believed that Steve's heroics merited the Silver Star, which, look, is awarded for gallantry in action. It's our nation's third highest combat award. Steve's a hero, irrespective of the upgrade. But I think, Bill, that Desert Storm finds us a little bit a victim of our own success. We were so wildly successful and the losses were so low that people forget that over 150 people died in combat. We lost, 24 fixed wing and 5 helicopters. Think about it. That's 150 families getting visited by military members in uniform, telling them that their loved one is not going home. Yet our success may have actually prevented some of the recognition that I think is due to our Desert Storm veterans.
I think that's an excellent point, General, that you bring out, because I do remember that time in 91 when war broke out. Of course, we make reference at times of Baghdad Bob. If you remember, he was talking about how the Iraqis had him, had the Americans right where we wanted, and all the propaganda that went out during that period of time. And we knew that there wasn't anything to demonstrate any credence whatsoever to what he was announcing to the rest of the Iraqis. And, of course, as you said, we went through it fairly quickly. It was a successful mission. But like all missions, it comes with danger and with casualties.
And that's absolutely right. And I think that just to be clear, during a combat loss, the Air Force, the military, doesn't do as thorough an investigation as they do an accident during peacetime. And that's not a criticism. It's just that, look, we're at war. There's a lot of things going on. People had been in the desert for 6, 7, 8 months. You know, they were trying to wrap up and go home. And so quite frankly, they did the investigation that was appropriate at the time. My point is that they didn't analyze the situation to the depth that I have been able to do with interviews of Rob Sweet and his wingmen and other flights and other A-10 pilots and other combat veterans. You know, it's taken me a long time to unravel the story that I told earlier here. And so I think it's not a question of investigation. It's let's take a look now and analyze it. And I think when you analyze it and compare it to the requirements for the Medal of Honor, which is conspicuous gallantry at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty, Steve Phillips's actions that day check all those boxes.
Yeah, without a doubt. Why has this become a passion for you?
You know, Steve and I were classmates at the Air Force Academy, and our connection started there. We were what I would call boxing buddies. The Air Force Academy had a boxing club. It was not a formal intercollegiate sport, which meant that you had to do it on your free time. Steve, like I, was not incredibly tall for his weight class, and we were both left-handed. So he and I trained quite a bit together. Right. I have a photo of he and I. He was my corner man at the Wing Open Boxing Championships in around 1980. And so our love for boxing is really what united us there at the academy. After we graduated, we kind of went separate ways. You know, went to pilot training. I went to fly the F-15. Steve went to fly the A-10. But we had similar experiences as fighter pilots, and when I heard of his shoot down, I thought to myself, there's more to the story here than we know, and I set out on a mission to find out the rest of the story.
And as you say, sometimes it's hard explaining heroics in an airplane and what that looks like. And I guess that's been a little bit of a challenge, you know, for you to be able, because, you know, people think, well, you know, these very expensive bits of machinery and, you know, we're talking somebody in the air as opposed to somebody on the ground, a trooper and that sort of thing. So it does require a different understanding and perspective, does it not?
It absolutely does. And I'm not going to blame Hollywood here for this, but it is hard to depict the danger and the valor in an air environment. You know, it's not like the Army guy who jumps on the grenade and saves his comrade. That's a little bit easier to depict, and we've seen a lot of examples of that, and that is absolutely heroic. It's a little bit harder, you know, when you're 2 or 3 miles away dropping bombs or shooting weapons or, you know, you eject 10,000 feet. It's a little bit hard for people to visualize that, and so what I've tried to do is explain how dangerous it was. 150 mobile anti-aircraft artillery pieces, over 2 dozen sophisticated SA-13 weapons, a highly combat-seasoned group. This particular division has spent 10 years fighting the Iranians. They were combat-savvy. So it's really it's my job, among others, to kind of paint the picture as to how dangerous it was, which really supports how the valor that Steve demonstrated and why the Medal of Honor is the right way to honor his service to our country and his sacrifice.
Brigadier General Jim Damaris has been our guest. Jim, 30 seconds left. How does it look to be able to get him the Medal of Honor?
You know, it's a heavy lift, and rightfully so. Our nation's the highest award for valor is going to require support from the Department of the Air Force, Department of Defense, members of Congress, and the White House. I think as people hear the story and the story gets out, which was published in Air Force Magazine, your listeners can go to the Air Force Magazine site. read the story, forward it to all their friends, but we're beginning a campaign now to get...
All out of time, General. Thank you for being with us.
Living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A California high school teacher was caught on camera berating students for their parents' collective push to end remote learning and return children to classrooms full-time in a video shared on Facebook.
However, if your parent wants to come talk to me about how I'm not doing a good enough job in distance learning based on what you need as an individual, just dare them to come at me because I'm so sick to my stomach of parents trying to tell educators how to do their job.
That's San Marcos High School teacher Alyssa Puro during a virtual lesson over Zoom. Elon Musk's brain chip Neuralink company is working on technology that could improve the lives of those with paralysis. Imagine being able to control your smartphone with your mind or typing with thought instead of your fingers. Neuralink is reporting they've enabled a monkey to play a video game by thinking of its movements. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
You catch that pronoun, we. That's Mises and Uses, okay? We got to do it together. We've got to be unified to this end. It's not about a Republican thing or Democrat. Forget the politics, okay? That's a mess. It's got us all bogged down, mired each other's throats. We're like in a bucket of gum here over all this stuff. And let me tell you, there are some people that are happy that we are this way right now, that we're disunified. It serves their purpose because they get their way at our expense. I mean, this is what it all looks like to me, at least from my humble perspective. And here it is. You know, it's time for us to pursue, one, the truth. Number two, common sense. Common sense is still there, okay? And if you think not, you know, probably a fun journey for you might be just go into the small town coffee shops and listen to the conversations. It is encouraging to help you realize that not everybody has checked out. If anything, they're all scratching their head going, wondering, what the heck is going on? You know, who suspended me somewhere else into some unreal world that I find myself in right now? Well, we're going to be talking with two ladies here, written a great book, The Miracle Collectors, uncovering stories of wonder, joy, and mystery. Joan Louise Hill and Katie Manor are with us right now. And one of them escaped the clutches of serial killer Ted Bundy. So you can imagine what that story is going to sound like, right? Joan and Katie, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Hey, okay, so right off the bat, Tell us the story of Ted Bundy. What happened?
Well, gosh, jumping right in here on a Monday morning, right?
Yeah, I thought, hey, well, let's just go into the deep end of the pool. Why not? I mean, anybody can wade and...
Exactly. Why not? I'll give a bit of a truncated version of the story. But when I was 19, the summer after my freshman year in college, I was working in downtown San Francisco and was lured into a deserted hotel conference room that I thought was going to be crowded and that there would be people around. The man that got me into that room had told me that he had had eye surgery and he needed to look up his best friend's parents in the phone book. And sure enough, there was a payphone on the back of the wall. This is the mid-1970s, everybody. Mm-hmm. So there was a payphone on the back of the wall and there was a phone book underneath it. And he wanted me to look up a brown family that lived on Marina Boulevard. So I'm facing the wall and the phone book and he's standing behind me. And I start to look down at these columns. And, you know, maybe a minute or two at most goes by. There were several columns. And all of a sudden, this absolute wave of terror came over me. I recognized instantaneously. It's not like I went through a checklist, but I recognized instantaneously there was no patch on his eye. You know, why wouldn't he know the first name of his best friend's parents, which is how you would look up a common name back in the day? You know, I was clearly looking for a needle in a haystack. I was in a deserted room with a stranger, you know, what I'd been taught my entire life not to do. And I turned around and this originally charming man, who was maybe 10 years older than I was at the time. I was 19. He was, you know, 30-ish. His entire demeanor, his entire face had changed. His eyes had darkened. I mean, that's all I can. I mean, it was like looking at pure evil. And I knew that he had been waiting for me to understand what kind of trouble I was in. And that was clearly part of his game. Mm-hmm. And just as he starts to move towards me, there's this bellman that walks in the room. And the bellman looks right at me and he says, "Don't you think you should be going now?" And I walked out of the room. I followed the bellman. The man didn't follow us. We walked into an elevator. The doors were already open. We go down to the lobby. So I was on the mezzanine level. We go down to the lobby. I walk out. You know, it took me a few seconds to sort of get my wits about me and remember my manners. I thought, you know, I've got to thank this man. Right. You know, and I look to the right and the left and straight ahead, and he's nowhere to be found. So I went home that day and, of course, told my mom what had happened. And she instantly, you know, good Irish Catholic mom that she was, she instantly said, "Well, Katie, he was an angel." And at the time,
the bellman certainly was an angel.
Right. And she went to the library and she got me an angel book. And I didn't believe any of that stuff anymore. You know, it's not, I wasn't looking for a spiritual explanation for what happened to me. But as the years went on and I told very few people what had happened, you know, once in a blue moon, I would have a nightmare and this man's face would be at the end of it and I'd wake up with my heart pounding. But I just wasn't looking for a spiritual explanation, but I could never satisfy the fact that the bellman said what he said. You know, if he just happened upon us, you know, then you could say, well, that was a nice coincidence. But he looked right at me and said what he said.
Exactly.
15 years about went by, and we're in bed reading the morning newspaper, and my husband turns to me and says, "Oh, my God, Katie, I think this is your guy." And
your husband thought and sees the picture of Ted Bundy and he identifies him?
Well, he understood the story. And he had read the article. And so he hands me the paper and says, "Is this your guy?" And there's the picture. But what the article said is that he was a frequent visitor to San Francisco in the mid-1970s when he was at the height of his murder spree, that he feigned injury to lure his victims, that his victims were 5'6 and 5, between 5'6 and 5'7, 19 to 21, hair parted in the middle, down to the waist, you know, blonde or brown. I mean, every single detail matched his MO. And of course, the photograph. And yeah. I knew in my gut that that's who it had been. And, you know, it was like, it really was a solar, you know, a hit to the solar plexus, because it kind of knocked me out of my complacency spiritually and as far as God was concerned. And I, you know, it sort of ignited this spiritual metamorphosis, which led to my two friends, which led to a first book, which led to the Miracle Collectors.
Exactly. Joan, let's bring you in here. How did you and, I mean, Katie kind of gave us a little bit of a preamble of how you guys came together, but let's hear your side of the story.
Well, I think that when we first started, you know, looking at miracles, and we realized, you know, everyone will recognize sort of the Thunderbolt miracle, that thing of being rescued from, you know, the clutches of Ted Bundy. What are the chances?
Right.
But what we really came to realize was that there was this whole continuum of miracles, and that, you know, some miracles can be, you know, a series of coincidences, sort of waves of grace that can happen. And that was really what happened in our lives, where our son was, his life was saved to a wonderful, fortuitous series of coincidences, which put me at the right place at school to see the one time he had chest pain, to get him to the right physicians across the country, to identify that what he had, the problem with his heart, was one that they had never before seen on an alive person. They only found it after, you know, they had passed away from sudden death. And the story, you know, gets weirder and stranger in terms of, you know, we determined that he needed to have open heart surgery, and there was one way to fix his heart that would be good for the rest of his life, and one way that would be, you know, just basically a bypass operation, which would require every 10 to 15 years a new open heart surgery.
Right, right.
And, you know, not what you want to hear for a 13-year-old who's a, you know, budding athlete. You know, at the moment that the surgeon had told us a week before his surgery that there was no way he could do the operation to save his life for a lifetime with one operation, one and done kind of thing.
Right.
And the day of the surgery, we're in the hospital waiting room as far back from the television, which was playing Jerry Springer as possible, you know, kind of hunkered down for this 8-hour procedure.
Oh.
And I get a call after a couple of hours to come to the desk. And I go, there's a phone call for me. So I go to the desk, and the nurse says, you know, everything in the operating room is good, but this is the most dangerous part of the operation. Your son's on bypass, and, you know, good luck. I was like, okay.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I hear my name, Louise, my maiden name, being called from the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look up, and Jerry Springer's gone. No one's changed the station. It's now playing the song of Bernadette, which was my favorite movie.
You gotta go to break. We'll pick it up from there. More
Perkins with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Did you know that the unemployment rate for homeless veterans was twice the national average? And without proper shoes, it's hard to get a job? Here's your veterans tip of the day. People from all over the country helped us with our annual songs and stories for soldiers, shoes and socks for homeless veterans. There was a time this summer where we believed that probably it wouldn't be successful because of the pandemic, but decided to go ahead and do it anyway. We reached out in the local community and on the various radio shows that I'm on, asked for their support. In a little over 3 weeks, we received 400 pairs of shoes and over 1,000 pairs of socks for homeless veterans, so they can go out and look for a job and have a decent pair of shoes to wear. We at Songs and Stories for Soldiers and all the 400-plus soldiers who will receive these shoes and socks say thank you for your generosity. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
God angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me.
I can tell you, I remember the first time I heard this song, it just really touched me so deep, because I think, you know, most of us at some point have had an encounter. Sometimes we don't even realize how an angel has stepped in and interceded on our behalf. In Katie's situation, quite obvious. Joan, we're still waiting for the the final installment of her story. She was just sharing with us, her son is a couple of hours into an 8-hour surgery, and she's given a heads up by the nurse that her son is entering the most dangerous part of the surgery, and then suddenly she hears her name, and you heard your name. You thought it was coming from the television set, Joan.
It was coming from the television set. The television channel had mysteriously changed from Jerry Springer to, I looked up to the song of Bernadette, and it turns out that Bernadette's mother's name was Louise, which is my maiden name. So I listened, heard my name be called. The song of Bernadette is the story, a wonderful movie, won the Academy Award in, in the 1940s. It's the story of the healing shrine at Lourdes, France, which is still very much, you know, visited by millions of people a year.
Right.
And as the no one wanted to change the station back, I was trying to explain to the other parents what it was. This wave of grace really came over me, and this peacefulness. And, you know, I sort of had a sense that everything was going to be all right. And as the credits rolled, literally to the movie, the surgeon came into the room, and he said, "You're not going to believe this, but the fix that I wanted to do that I told you last week I couldn't do, the fix that will cure your son for the next, you know, for his lifetime, I was able to do. I had exactly the width of a nickel between these two arteries in his heart, and I was able to move the one to the proper place." And so we talk about two things. We talk about this continuum of miracles. When we told our stories, other people came out of the woodwork to tell their own stories. And so this continuum of miracles, from those thunderbolts that we all recognized or maybe learned
right.
from children, to these waves of grace of series of coincidences by becoming aware of things that happen to you. You know, we've got people just really wanted to share their stories. And listening to the first PSA, I guess it was, on the commercial break, was about veterans and about, you know, collecting shoes for veterans.
Yes.
And how 400, you know, in a very short time, 400 pair of shoes were collected. It's being the miracle for someone else. So the book, The Miracle Collectors, really has people hopefully identifying. We try to offer a path for people to find the miracles in their own lives, which are so important at this time, and also the concept of being a miracle for someone else.
Exactly. Candy, have you found that some people are not ready to hear about your miracle or other miracles?
I think that that's true, Bill. I think that, you know, there are people that just don't believe it, period. They don't believe in a higher power. They certainly don't believe in miracles. I think what the Miracle Collectors offers, however, is an opportunity for even the skeptics and the non-believers to step in and say, huh, I never looked at it that way, or to consider a different perspective. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, or beginning of our segment, you know, about this disconnect in this country, this polarization. And one of the things that we found is that when we are vulnerable enough to tell stories to each other, we find common ground. And, you know, we all can understand a language that includes love and goodness, forgiveness and gratitude, courage and sacrifice. It's a language that no matter where you come from or what, you know, your particular opinions are, these are things we can all agree on, at least most of us can agree on.
Right.
And I think the other thing about these stories is that it does, you know, again, for maybe the skeptics and the people that just don't believe, it really, I think, is hard to read The Miracle Collectors and not come away with the idea that we're just not alone.
Right, exactly.
We're not alone between each other. We're connected to each other, but we're also connected to something that's bigger than we are.
You know, without a doubt. John, what does it do for people of faith when they're hearing that God still does miracles?
It's a great question. I think that, you know, it's a wonderful thing for those who have faith, you know, no miracle is necessary, and for those who don't, no miracle is possible kind of thing. But I think that, you know, it's a reminder, and we all love reminders. We all need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded, as Katie said, that we're not alone. We're all, one of the things we like to say and we talk about is that, well, sometimes asking for a miracle is asking God to say yes to us. You know, I want this to be healed or that to be better. Sometimes we have to say yes to God.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something I think that resonates as well with people of faith. And this notion that miracles, really bring out our best selves, if you will, you know, to write about miracles and to talk about them. There's a certain generosity of spirit that has to go on, because these stories are things that are really events in people's lives that have made them vulnerable. And you have to treat vulnerability with empathy, and you have to listen, and you have to hear, and you have to, you know, really, as you understand that, you know, things are bigger than we are, that we're attached to something bigger than ourselves, and we sort of begin to pay attention to our spiritual side. You know, these are all things that help us, I think, in collaboration, at work, and whatever, in our lives, to offer this generosity of spirit instead of just saying, oh, you're different than me, I can't deal with that.
Yeah, well said. Katie, it's very personal, as Joan was pointing out. A miracle, when it happens to you, it is so personal. It's like the blind man. How do you tell the blind man, well, you weren't really blind, right? And that a miracle really didn't happen. But all the blind man knows is he was blind, and now he's not.
Right. I mean, we do talk about the fact that, and certainly this is what I learned, is that every story that we have heard is personal, and that miracles in general are in the eye of the beholder. You know, one of the most interesting things I think I have found along the way is something that Kierkegaard said, you know, well over 100 or more years ago,
right,
that miracles are signs. And they're not just signs that anyone can recognize. They are signs that only you can recognize. And that makes miracles in particular a very personal situation. It also means that you're the only one that can call it. You're really the only one that can recognize it. I mean, obviously there are, you know, miracles from the great faiths, obviously the resurrection, which was, Christians just celebrated,
right,
or the Exodus, in the Jewish faith. Those are recognized, universally, but these types of miracles that most of the ones that we carry in this book are stories that people tell and, you know, just really, really resonated with them personally.
If we can, we've got about 3 minutes left here, Joan. Maybe you can touch on another miracle from the book, The Miracle Collectors.
Well, you know, I think we have there. Oh, my gosh. So Katie was talking about signs, and we have about 50 different stories, you know, in the book. One of our favorites are, you know, I think we've all maybe asked for a sign. We get confused. We don't know what to do. But there was a literal sign that was given to one of our people who shared a story. She was, you know, distraught, 3 young children under 5, a busy husband, and a very powerful job in a male-dominated, you know, profession. And she's driving down the freeway and, you know, on a Saturday afternoon with too little time and too many errands to do and 3 kids squawking in the back seat. God, you know, she really wants to work part-time, but they've never allowed anyone to work part-time at her job. So she's afraid to ask. And so she's driving down the freeway. Everything's, you know, come to a head. And she's, God, just show me a sign. Tell me what I should do. And at that moment, she passes a huge billboard, which has a big picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe on the billboard, which is a devotion to the Blessed Mother from Mexico. And it's an advertisement for a Mexican brewery. And the big letters don't say, got milk, but they say, just ask. And so she's, okay. She goes to work on Monday morning. She talks to her boss. She said, you know, I really need to work part-time. He says, well, we've been waiting for you to ask. So sometimes signs can be literal. But what we really want to leave people with is the notion that, you know, miracles are not just for poster children for religion or spirituality. They're available to everyone.
Exactly.
And that
Could
be the miracle for others, and that we just really need to become more aware of seeing this common in this uncommon way and looking and attending to the signs in our lives.
Well, Joan Louise Hill and Katie Mann, authors of the book, The Miracle Collectors, Uncovering Stories of Wonder, Joy, and Mystery. Katie, I'm going to let you summarize this as we head to the exits reluctantly. I could be talking to you all afternoon because to hear these stories, and it encourages me as a man of faith. I'm always enlarged and encouraged when I can hear other people's faith experiences. Wrap it up for us, if you would.
I will, but, you know, at the end of every chapter, we have something called Take the Miracle Moment Challenge, and it sort of is a path, you know, to finding miracles in your own life, and I think it empowers people to do just that. So the Miracle Collectors, we want everyone to turn into a Miracle Collector themselves.
A Miracle Collector and a Miracle Sharer, right, Joan?
You got it.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Bookstore. Bye.
You got it. It'll be linked on our website as well.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.